So for Coach's Corner today, we're going to discuss an article, Why Market Timing Doesn't Work. S&P 500 is up 14% this year, but just 8 days explain the gains. This is from CNBC. And we talk about this topic often, the difficulty in timing the market, and we'll do so again today. The performance of the S&P year to date is a good illustration and great reminder of how hard it is to get in and out of the market without missing critical trading days, resulting in permanent losses.
I just thought it illustrates very well why you have to be invested. I mean, literally the S&P at that moment that article was written was up about 14%. 8 days, they averaged around 2% a day that it was up. Obviously, that's where we get the 14 from. But that's it. I mean, there's the majority of the positive return in the markets were on the S&P, were on those days. You have to be invested to get those returns. And if you try to move out when it's down and then move out when it's up and then move back in when it's down, It's impossible to do it consistently. You might get lucky once, but there's no way that you can do it consistently. And I just find the argument, like, I find it irrefutable that you can do it.
You have to be right twice consistently is the thing. And that's what is, to me, about this article, that's the thing that's the most important, is that you have to be right twice, way more often than you're wrong. Twice.
And you have to be right based upon what? Based upon some bit of information
that only you possess.
That only you. But like, I hate investing jargon, but like, give me any kind of like PE ratio, right? Let's say you're using the PE ratio of whatever. Does the S&P 500 have a PE ratio?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're using the PE ratio of the S&P 500 to help predict whether you think it's going to go up or down. That's not the only variable that determines whether the market goes up or down. So how can you possibly tell me that you can successfully time the market based on whatever you've created?
I'll tell you, it's lack of awareness of how the global investing world works. It's hubris, or it's a belief that I have some insight, right? Whether it's, so there's two ways that you time it. You either stock pick, get in and out of stocks based on looking at their valuation or where you think it's going or not going, or there's sector or asset class picking based on, like, let's say I think international is undervalued and I'm good. That's kind of mostly it. And for anyone to think they have special insight that the rest of the world doesn't have is just incredibly naive to me. It's incredibly naive.
You have that insight, it's illegal to use it. No.
Insight is not illegal. Inside information.
Yes.
I mean insight that the collective, like the collective opinion on anything. Presidential elections, they have markets where they have, you know, odds and probabilities of what's going to happen, who's going to win the Oscars. They have that is accurate. Like that is actually accurate. And it represents, like, at that point in time, what is most likely the right price. It's never the right price because markets change and move because new information comes in. But why do you think you're special enough to have that information that no one else has? Everything is priced in already. Doesn't mean that. And I think that the challenge is that you look at, people look at this every day and they're like, oh my God, the market was, you know, made a big move or a big move down. And I mean, how could we not have seen this coming, right? Or how could we not have capitalized on this? And it's counterintuitive for a lot of people to think that you have to ignore that and stay invested, to your point, to capture longer term returns that the market gives you. That's it. That's the entire game.
So I want to make a comment, but I would like you to like explain one thing that you said, because I hear it a lot. And if you can explain it well, that'd be awesome. It's already priced in. Like you hear everybody say, like the market has already priced that in. Like, what does that mean? Let's see if I can even remember the point I wanted to make after what you just said, which I can't. So why don't you just like when people say it's already priced in, what do you mean by that?
So somebody may say, hey, I hear interest rates are going to get, they're going to get hiked at next Fed meeting. I think that means we ought to do X, Y, or Z. Oh, so you're the only one that is expecting interest rates to be hiked? Like, that information is out there. It's known, and the expectations of what's going to happen or not are all priced in. So assets are bought and sold collectively again in response to expectations of economic data, you know, interest rate moves, you know, war outbreaks, whatever policy, it might be. Right. It's all in there.
When does it, like, so this is a stupid question, but like, when does it get priced in?
As soon as it's available. As soon as it's available.
As soon as the information becomes known.
Yeah.
To the general public.
Yes.
Like J&J gets the approval to create a vaccine for COVID-19. Boom. That day, like, it's already priced in.
Yeah. That morning. Or
like, you might not see a pop, or you may.
Right.
You may see a $2 pop. But then like 3 months later, when the rest of the world finally comes around to like, oh my God. Like, I remember meeting with clients like during the pandemic, like a year later, I'm buying J&J because they make the vaccine and they're going to kill it. Like, dude, that already happened.
I think another important thing that people don't talk about much is, and I heard this once and it's so true. If somebody said to anybody, hey, 5 years from now, interest rates are going to be here, GDP is going to be here, PE ratios, whatever metric you want, are going to be here. You knew everything that was going to be, all the data points 5 years from now. You still would not be able to like reliably make money on that. Why? Because you do not know the mood, right? There's general optimism or pessimism amongst the world, the investing world, or whomever. That is critical. That piece of information is like more important in many ways than the data. It's the directional mood of people about, you know, business formation and future prosperity or recession fears and things like that. Like, that's impossible to all to if there's too much to process and too much unknowables, even if you had actual, or if you're correct in predicting some of the data points.
I remember reading those articles when it may have been COVID, or it may have been like, I forget the recession before COVID, but we looked, like, you're reading an article and they listed like 15 variables. Like, if I had told you a year ago, this is what 2020 was going to look like, and this is how all these variables would have been, like, would you be invested? And you're like, oh my God, no.
Yes.
But if you missed 2020, point. It was an awesome year for the market.
Right. If somebody knew in January of 2020 about the COVID, how it all unfolded, they would have sold everything and sat in cash the entire time.
Yeah.
Well, I that's the first thing that came to mind for me when I read this article is the examples of some of our clients, unfortunately, who in the early parts of COVID, like that March, April of 2020, like, we have to get out. Now, this wasn't a timing because they like knew the asset class that was going to recover fastest or, right? They weren't inclined to get back in. It was timing the out because they didn't want their money to keep going down, right? It was like, how do we stop the bleeding? So I think there's a little bit of another angle to this, which obviously it's, you have to get it right twice, right? Get out at an appropriate time and get back in at an appropriate time. But like, I continue to come back to those scenarios where people want to get out and how impossible it is to get you back in. Yeah. Even if you say, right, like, I will at this price, or I will at this time, or I will when this thing settles or this thing becomes more clear or whatever. Like, the psychology around convincing someone to get back in, I feel is 25 times more difficult than convincing someone to stay in. Because once they're out, they're out. Like, I don't know how.
I agree 100%.
How us as humans get back in a scenario that I'm painting here, right? Where it's like the world is ending. We're in the middle of a pandemic. There's no positive news to come by.
Yeah. Buying stuff when things are falling apart other than like Warren Buffett might be the one person who's done it really well, is so difficult for just psychologically.
Yeah,
for
she's anyone. Absolutely right, man. Think about the clients that we've met that have been in cash. Getting them to commit to the investment plan is an absolute struggle. Mm-hmm. It's way easier to keep, which is still a struggle, to keep clients invested when the shit's hitting the fan.
Yes, I'm not suggesting either are easy. I just think once somebody has made that decision and actually done it, I mean, it's done. Yeah.
When you were talking and you were saying like people want to get in, get out. And Mike, you were saying, and this is the point I wanted to make earlier. Why? Why do people feel the need they have to get in and out? What is wrong with just staying invested? If we know, because history has proven, if you stay invested, your money will be worth more later. Like it's not more complicated than that. Obviously, the time frame matters. No guarantee it'll be worth more 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15, or, well, I think it is a guarantee, 20 years later, it'll be worth more. Are people just so greedy and they just want to make money faster? I need to make, and I don't want to miss out. And I think that people are smart and they know how to do it. Why?
I think greed's a possibility. I don't want to say it's not, but I guess I maybe lean more towards it's just hard to stomach the down. And, you know, it's hard to see your $1 million turn into 800 grand. And like, why, if I could avoid it, why wouldn't I?
But how did you get the $1 million?
Yeah. No, you're right.
Like, it's so logical and people struggle understanding it and stick it because you know what? It's all emotional.
Yeah.
It blows my mind, man.
Yeah. Well, especially people that watch it frequently, constantly. Yeah. Like they see something that was worth 100 last week that's now at 90 and they're kicking themselves for not getting out. And then it starts to tempt them to try to do that stuff. I mean, it's like partially the fault of the fact that markets are open 5 days a week and trading for, you know, six and whatever hours a day, like probably should only be open 1 day a week.
Yeah.
would make a lot of people better off.
We made a new client this year and he was like, every time I like invest, it goes down. And like, sure enough, like 3 months after he invested, he was up like, I'll say 10%. I'll make up a number, but a lot, like a good amount of money. And we were having a conversation and I'm like, he brought it up. He's like, so like, we're up. I'm like, I didn't want to say anything, but yeah, pretty crazy. Not saying you were wrong, but like, yep, markets go up. Sure enough, like a month later, I'm having another conversation with him. All the gains were given back and he was down. And he's like, so are we ever going to make money? And I like looked at him like, is that a serious question? Like, do you honestly believe that we're not going to make money over time?
Right.
Because if you feel that way, just put it all in a money market and get 5%.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, and that's the other point that reminded me of when I read this, which is that the only returns that matter at all are long-term returns. Mm-hmm.
But to clients, the only thing that matters is right now.
Sometimes, yeah.
Most times, right now.
Well, new clients, right now, yes. And I think, you know, again, the new client who maybe is still learning the role that we play, right, which is not to guarantee positive returns, which is not to guarantee you're going to beat them, any of those things. You know, they look to us like, what are you doing? Or why aren't we doing something differently? It's like, we're doing exactly what we told you we would. It's just not something that over a 3, 6, 12, 24, 36 month time frame is necessarily going to result in more money. And are we okay with that?
Right. I thought it was a great article. I thought it illustrated. I know to your point that, but and they even mentioned in the article, if you're out, you missed the down days too.
Yeah. And then and to that, I think people would say, yeah, I don't care about that stuff because the point is if I do avoid the down days and I do get the up days, then I'm crushing the market.
Good luck.
Good luck. Exactly.